So the next presentation is the impact of individual, population, and species, as well as fertilizer regime and turf grass microbial community structures. Presenting Clement Dabney, co-authors Christopher Staley, Eric Watkins, and Michael Sadowski.
I'm Clement Dabney, and I'll be talking about the impact of species as well as fertilizer regime on turfgrass microbial community structures. So the reason that turfgrass is so important is that there's over 50 million managed acres in the United States. Being managed, that means there's significant amounts of water, fertilizer, and pesticides associated with its cultivation. There's more acres of lawn, so that's sports fields, cemeteries, and home lawns, than irrigated corn or wheat. And the economic impact of the turf industry was over $60 billion a decade ago. The rhizosphere is the area that surrounds the root that is colonized by bacteria and fungus. And these relationships with the plants can be mutual, commensal, or parasitic. The relationships that we're interested in are these mutual relationships that can increase plant vigor, can decrease or increase drought and disease resistance and nutrient acquisition, and also can be used for bioremediation and carbon sequestration. So metagenomics is the study of metagenomes, so genomes of many organisms. For our study, we take soil samples and we're isolating all of the genetic material within that soil sample. So there's some breeding implications in this. In maize, there's been some work done that shows that different cultivars, so different genotypes, can influence the rhizosphere community structure of the surrounding root tissue. So this graph here compares three different maize genotypes and then one that's a different species, so sugar beet. Some of the research that we're doing is assessing the microbial community structure associated with the turf grass as a first step towards breeding for these improved rhizosphere associations. So looking for these mutual relationships and then exploiting those. Some of the objectives of this work was to investigate the differences in microbial community structure that was based upon species as well as fertilizer regime. So our turf plots, we had two locations. There's a location in St. Paul and a location at the Arboretum in Chaska. So the St. Paul had a pretty nice quality soil that was silt loam, pH of 7.5 and 3.4% organic matter, whereas the Chaska site was poor quality urban soil. It was basically a site that used to be a parking lot and they added some compost on it. It had a pH of 7.4 and only 1.7% organic matter. We utilized, we had 9 different entries, which was made up of 5 different species. Some of those species, such as hard fescue, colonial bentgrass, and dyschampsia, had 2 different cultivars. But we also looked at Kentucky bluegrass, perennial or prairie June grass, and perennial ryegrass. We had 2 main fertility regimes. 0 additional N. So after the plots were seeded in 2009, and after establishment, the plots received no additional fertilizer. So these are ongoing trials that were installed in 2009. So over 6 years of growth with no additional fertilizer. But the other treatment was 98 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. That was applied in a split treatment. So half of that was applied in the fall and half in the spring. And we had 4 replicates of these plots at the St. Paul location and 3 replicates in Chaska. What we did to samples, we used a cup cutter. Later on in future studies, we used a Zoiser plugger so we could be a little nicer on our plots. But so we used this cup cutter, went in the soil about 4 inches. We would remove all of the bulk soil from the root tissue, and all of the soil particles that were still attached to the root tissue we would collect using a sterilized forceps and store them in sterilized glass jars. And then per plot, we replicated that 3 times. So in each plot, we collected three cup cutters or three plugs. For our DNA isolation, we use power soil kits, and they're pretty good at removing humic substances and PCR inhibitors. We quantified the DNA using qubits and then amplified that DNA using PCR and then sent the gel extractions off to sequencing. We used the Illumina sequencing platform. In this study, we used HiSeq. To process those sequences, we used Mother, and we trimmed those sequences and removed the chimera. Any sequences that were below 7 base pairs, we removed automatically. We normalized the data, and then we classified these sequences based upon an RDP database. And to look at the alpha and beta diversities, we utilized the statistical analyses ANISIM and AMOVA, as well as ACE and SHANON. So some of the findings that we had found. So here is colonial bentgrass in St. Paul. It's called colonial trow. Here's colonial bentgrass at the Arboretum. And some of the things we're seeing that hold true over all of our studies, or all of our samples, is that there's a larger proportion of the sequence reads at the Arboretum site were less abundant orders. So this is basically kind of saying that in the poor quality soil, that there's more species richness. And then we can also see, as we compare, you know, colonial at St. Paul with dystopsy at St. Paul, that there are also significant differences within the species at a particular site. So some of the alpha diversity, so in both of these graphs, the larger the number, the more species richness there is, and that would also mean, so the larger the number, there'd be more different species within those soil samples. So we're kind of finding this interesting finding that at the Arboretum, there's a larger species richness than in, in Chaska, there's more species richness on that poor quality soil than in St. Paul. This is a principal coordinate analysis of the data by location. What we're seeing is that in Chaska, the data tends to be clustered together. So these data points are more similar than the data points at St. Paul. So basically saying that colonial bentgrass at the Arboretum in these samples is more closely related to dystopsy at the Arboretum than it is to colonial bentgrass at St. Paul. That's an intriguing finding. Some other findings that we had, this is a principal coordinate analysis of Chaska. We can see that the species have a tendency to cluster together, and this is before and after fertilization, or with fertilization and without. And we didn't outline any of the data in this because it gets a little confusing. But what we can see here is that some points are not significantly different from one another, but there are some points that are very, very dissimilar from one another. So our future work, we'd like to look at cultivar differences within various species of turfgrass to see how much effect the genotype has on rhizosphere community structure. We'd also like to look at the changes that happen in this rhizosphere community structure over multiple different time points. So what happens in how is spring samples different from fall samples within the same species at the same location? And we would like to use this data to better understand the rhizosphere community structure and how that is associated with turf grass performance or turf grass quality. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators. Christopher Staley helped me with everything that is Mother. So Mother is the program we use, and he's a coding genius. And Andrew Holman also helped me out in the field identify all the plots, and he also rated the turf grass. And I also got some help from Joshua Friel and Jason Ostergaard. I'd like to thank the United States Golf Association for providing funding for this work. Are there any questions?
So I saw the primer you used was a
Yep.
So that would have been mostly bacterial analysis. Was there any
all bacterial?
Was there any plan to do fungal analysis?
Not in the short term, but we'd probably look at the ITS primers for that. Any other questions?